Talking with TD. Touchdown, Tennessee! The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, you are now rocking with TD as always. This is Talking with TD. I'm Teron Davenport. We got David James in the house.
Yes, sir.
You already know. It's free agency time, so we'll get into that. The haul that the Titans have so far, I guess if you want to call it a haul, and what the Texans have done. We'll look at some options in free agency. We'll get to that. We got Tyler Rowland, Tic Tac Titans. You know him on Twitter, the Locked On Titans, the Locked On Network. We'll get him, and of course, Run TMC. We got to get some feedback from Chris Sanders, Soul Fish Eye Fool, get his feedback on what the Titans have done so far as well. But first, you're going to get mine. And let's just look at this for what it is, okay? Yesterday, well, Tuesday was a day where there were some things in place they didn't necessarily come to fruition, and the Titans were relatively inactive for most of the day until Sadiq Charles was signed late. In the evening, and that's a signing, you know. And talking to John Keim who covers the Commanders for ESPN NFL Nation, he said that every single time it would seem like he was ready to turn the corner and he showed progress, Charles was injured. And it wasn't always an injury. He's been on IR three times. He was on IR last year. It wasn't always an injury that landed him on IR. There would be small things that he would tweak and cause him to miss a practice here or, you know, miss a couple of days there. And it seemed to always happen at the most inopportune time. And that didn't allow the commander staff from being able to feel like they could trust him. And, you know, that's one thing you know from Mike Vrabel and how you saw how he looked at injuries. That was always an issue for select guys. You know, Christian Fulton, he had the issue with. David Long, he had the issue with, you know, but, yeah, so Charles, he'll come in and he'll compete at one of the guard, at right guard. Not one of, we know Skoronski's the left guard. But he'll compete there with Daniel Brunskill and whatever else they have in the mix. So you do have that. You got the Tony Pollard signing, which I think, you know, you look at this. He's not coming in, folks. He's not coming in to replace Derrick Henry. Let's push that aside. No one can replace Derrick Henry. Right, so I don't want to put him in the same situation as Treylon Burks was put in, as, hey, he's replacing A.J. Brown. This is a different situation, right, because what you have is a totally different scheme. How much did you hear Amy Adams-Strunk talk about modernizing the offense and just the overall approach? And one of the ways that they do that is get rid of that cloud of dust, smash and bash style of offense. And that's what Derrick Henry brought. And look, he's going to Baltimore. I know you're happy.
Yes, sir.
We've talked about him going to Baltimore for quite some time on this show. It's obviously a mix. But that's gone, and now you bring in Tony Pollard, and he's a very similar back to Tajay Spears. And you say, well, why do you want something similar to what you have? Well, I'll tell you why. Because now you could have those guys split the carries and split the snaps, but when Pollard is on the field, you're not going to say, hey, the Titans are for sure going to do this. When Spears is on the field, you're not going to say, hey, they're going to do that. It takes away from the predictability of the offense. And we all know, right, third downs, I mean, a lot of times if it's third and four or longer, Henry's coming out, Tajay's going in, and they're more likely going to pass. You're less predictable this way. So that's one of the things to look at. But also, you look at the pass-catching ability that Pollard has. This is a guy, he can line up in the slot for you, just as Tajay Spears can. He can line up out wide. You can create mismatches. And this league is all about matchups. And that's something that, you know, you could kind of create some favorable ones against particular teams. Probably not the Colts with the linebackers they got, or the Jaguars with the linebackers they got. Yeah, the Texans would be interesting, but, you know, outside of the division, you could create those matchups. We'll put it to you that way. So that's a signing that, you know, and it's not just, oh, they gave this money to Pollard but couldn't give it to Henry. It's a 7.5 per year, 2-year type of deal, honestly. That's really what it equates to. Obviously, we know what the numbers were reported, but you look at the nuts and bolts of it. That's what it equates to. So, and it was with the option to release him, you know, and have $2 million in dead money in that third year. So it's a very, it's a team friendly deal. The cap number is low as well. So that's something that's important because we know the salary cap is real. All right, let's go on and look at some of the other moves. And I'm kind of saving the best for last. But you look at the Kenneth Murray one. And I know everybody looks at that and say, hey, PFF, rated him this, rated him that. Look, a couple things with PFF. And no disrespect to them at all. They don't know what the assignment is on the scheme. So that's why it's like I find it hard to really grade a guy. And that's why you rarely will hear me, you know, be so definitive when I say this guy is terrible or this guy is good. I look, this is what I see, and it looked like this. You know what I mean? Because you don't know the particular thing that he's asked to do on any given play. That being said, I think if you look at this Titans team and you look at Frank Bush, the linebackers coach, this is a veteran coach. I think he will help Kenneth Murray. There are times where, and this to kind of give you a snapshot, think Rashawn Evans, right? Where the aggressiveness and the athletic ability sometimes led to him being out of position. And teams would at times use that against him, whether it's in the passing game or misdirection running, because they know he likes to go downhill and shoot gaps. And that's what Kenneth Murray, you saw the game against the Chargers. They had two TFLs. He had the forced fumble. You saw the game. I mean, this guy, he loves to get downhill, and he will spike gaps. So you have to just get him to play with a little bit more discipline. And that's something that a veteran coach could help him do. But I like what the Titans are considering doing as far as pairing him up with the possibility of having Jerome Baker, who he visited on Thursday. So you do have that. And if they could pair him up, you got Baker, who is also an athletic linebacker, but he's a pretty solid cover guy as well. So, you know, you go into nickel and dime, well, especially dime packages, you know, he'll probably be on the field then. So that's a good situation. The money is interesting. You know, the Aziza Shire deal, you know, more power to him, man, going down there and getting $11 million per with the Texans. He got a great deal. They got a really good player. That just is a number that, you know, the Titans weren't going to go to. They wanted to keep. There was interest. They wanted, and there was communication. They wanted to keep him, but they had to kind of pivot to another option. That's where Kenneth Murray came into the picture, and now he's here. It's a signing where it's like, okay, let's wait and see how he plays in this scheme under Denard Wilson. And that's something that, you know, you've seen players in the past. They move from one scheme to another, and all of a sudden it's like, that dude is actually a baller. And I for the Titans' sake, that's what they're hoping can happen with Murray. Now, the cream of the crop, the signing that is the one that really cannot be looked at with any type of negativity at all. And I know it sets some records, you know, financially for a center, but you get a premier center at 26 years old, hey, you got to do it. And that's Lloyd Cushenberry. And coincidentally, he and Sadiq Charles, they were college teammates on that LSU team that won the championship, right? So you have that. But more importantly, this is a guy that comes in, and at 315 pounds, you know, he could drop that anchor. You're not going to bull rush him too much, if at all. So now you protect that interior. You got that triangle, right? You got that Skoronski, Cushenberry, Brunskill / Charles triangle there. The inside of the pocket should be pretty secure. And that's something that's important. Why? Well, Will Levis, you know, he likes to throw the ball down the field. You talk to any quarterback, the thing that they hate the most is stepping up in the pocket, right? When that pressure is coming from the outside, stepping up in the pocket and wanting to throw the ball down the field, but having to kind of hesitate or not really follow through all the way because they don't want to hit their hand on the guard or center's helmet. Quarterbacks hate that. That's, well, I think it was Drew Brees had an injury like that a couple years ago. He had the thumb injury. So, you know, that's something that they hate, that interior. You ask Drew Brees, you ask Brady, you ask Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, any one of them, they'll tell you the worst thing for them is to have that interior, that pocket collapse into their lap. So I believe that it is definitely a strong move to invest in a guy like a Lloyd Cushenberry. However, you know, the run blocking, there is a bit of a drop off, but I mean, look, he's suited for whatever the Titans want to do under Brian Callahan. So there's still some holes to fill, right? You look at opposite. Oh, can't forget Chidobe Awuzie. That's another. You get a nice size physical corner. He's not going to turn the football over often, but he is always going to be in phase. You know, so you have that. You're kind of banking on him to return to that 2022 form. You know, before he tore the ACL, he was a top level corner. So you also have that deal. Now opposite him, there's still a void, right? Christian Fulton is out there. I think I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up, you know, on the West Coast. You know, a team like San Francisco. I know there's some interest in him from a few teams. So I don't think he comes back. So opposite him, because, you know, you got Fuller. You got Roger McCreary in the nickel. Kendall Fuller. That would be the guy I would go out and sign. I think he's the best of the remaining corners. You could always kick the tires on Adoree Jackson. I don't think that's one that should be looked at. But Dane Jackson, who was actually a college teammate of Rashad Weaver at Pittsburgh, he's a free agent with the from the Bills, and he will be a low cost. He's 27 years old. He was solid there for them, but, you know, there, you know what's happening in Buffalo. But that is an option, too. Out of those three, me personally, Kendall Fuller would be the one. Now, one other thing, because you obviously have the L'Jarius Sneed rumors, right? And there's definitely interest. Absolutely, there's interest. There is for sure interest, but the compensation is where the hangup is. And right now, that value isn't there for the Titans to go and get Sneed. The Chiefs, they want to trade him. And you look at how things could work for them, right? I mean, they could get a corner in the bottom of the first round. You know, they could get a corner in the second. They're probably going to look at getting a receiver. So, you know, I would imagine at 32, you know, a Keon Coleman, Xavier Worthy, even Xavier Leggett, you know, those types, I think would be I think A.D. Mitchell goes before those guys. But, you know, I think that's where they could go receiver-wise. So, they can still get a corner a little bit later. And they've already shown that that's a team that is able to develop corners, you know. So they could go later. And I mean, look at L'Jarius Sneed. He was, what, a fourth or fifth round pick. You know, that's an excellent example of how they develop players. I say no if I'm the Titans to that. I don't go get him. But one guy I do consider, and this was coming from the combine, to kind of talking to a few different sources, Marshon Lattimore, there's a chance that he could be acquired. Now, what that would cost, I mean, I don't know that, you know, the Saints are going to just part with him just to part with him. You know what I mean? But they negotiated a part of his deal. Like, they redid some of the deal to make it a little more palatable to trade him. So, you know, you look, he'll have this year a $14.6 million cap number. That's not bad for a guy like Marshawn. I mean, I would definitely take that on, but it just depends on what the compensation will be. So that's another one to look out. He's only 28 years old. He's still one of the best cover corners in the league. Just ask Mike Evans. He'll tell you. but, you know, so that's a little bit in at the corner position. The safety position, man, oh, man, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was – that was a deal I know, you know, kind of hurt the Titans. They were hoping to be able to bring him aboard. It didn't happen. Obviously, he went to the Eagles and – you know, that number that he got, the $33 million, like, that's a big time. Congratulations to him for getting that. There are still some safety options. And one of the guys that I thought would be an excellent option was Jordan Whitehead, you know, the Jets safety. But he ended up signing with Tampa. He went back to the Bucs on Wednesday. But you still have some other options. There's another Jordan by the name of Jordan Fuller that nobody's really talking about him. But he's 26 years old. Coming out of Ohio State, I mean, this guy had 94 tackles last year, 3 interceptions. I mean, you look a couple years ago, he had 113 tackles. He's a solid player, you know, still at 26 years old, you know, former 6th-round pick, but you're talking about a 5th-year veteran. I think he's somebody that I would target. Cam Curl is another option, too, if you want a guy who's going to get you a bunch of tackles. May not be the best at turning the football over, but Cam Curl from the Washington Commanders. In fact, we'll talk with Tyler Rowland a little bit more about that because I know that's a guy that he likes. And, of course, the guy that everybody likes, and that's Justin Simmons. And, you know, Justin Simmons, I'll tell you this, David. You know, I'm big-time Kevin Byard.
Oh, yeah.
Big-time.
Big-time.
That's the one safety where I would say, okay, look, let's have a discussion about who's the best safety in the league, him or Kevin Byard. Yeah, you know, Justin Simmons is legit. I remember watching him at the East-West Shrine, and I'm like, man, this dude is good. He's always, he's rangy. Mm-hmm. He's what you call an eraser. So having him would be great. I'm not sure what the money would be, but you look at the age, though, right? Because I don't know that his age really matches what the Titans are looking to do. This is a team that is building. I don't know that, you know, at what, 32 years old, 30 years old, I think Justin Simmons is. I don't know. Yeah, 30. I don't know that that would be, you know, congruent to what they're trying to do. However, it's an option that you have to look at. A couple other names real quick. We look at up front. You know, I mentioned Jerome Baker, and he's a guy that you pair him with Kenneth Murray, and now he's the one that has the red dot helmet, and he's the one that, you know, becomes the quarterback of the offense, and you could, defense, and you could allow Kenneth Murray to just kind of play a little bit more freely, but with discipline, right? And that's something that you remember the saying, right? Be aggressive but not reckless, and that's something that can happen a little bit more easily with Jerome Baker there for Kenneth Murray. So you do have that. A couple of visits, you know, you got Chase Young, who is very intriguing, right? You look at the NFC Championship game, the run where Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, he was towards the end of the first half, he was able to scoot 20 or so yards into the end zone. And towards the end, Chase Young, he gave subpar effort, and that, you know, brought a lot of on him. You know what I'm saying? A lot of that criticism. That's the word I was looking for. And this would be a 1 year type of prove it deal. But here's the thing. He comes in and, you know, you get a superb athlete that's motivated. It's a gamble I would make. I would bring Chase Young in on a deal, whether it's, you know, I would do a 1 year deal, maybe $10 million or so, and let him play his way. Because if he balls out, you got money next year to sign him. Now you got a long-term deal. Chase Young is what? I think he's only 24 years old.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so he's young. He's young. So you still have an opportunity. Yeah, April 14th, he'll be 25 years old. So this is still a young player. So I would definitely, he's going to be visiting. I would definitely, you know, look at signing him. Eric Armstead is going to be a free agent. The 49ers will likely be releasing him. That's another guy that you could look at. But the one that I would get, and I know that there has been some talks, is DJ Reader. Because now you take DJ Reader, you take that 335 pounds, and you sit that in the middle of that defensive line, right? And you just say, okay, I dare you to try to move my monster off of this mm-hmm. gap. Now you know that you have the middle of that line occupied, and he could, you know, occupy a couple gaps for that matter, the way that he plays and with his size. Then not to mention, he gets a lot of pressures. He had 41 pressures last year, which is pretty good. You know, and we just talked about the importance of collapsing the pocket from the interior. He will help do that. And then most importantly, now you have a guy that can anchor the middle and you can move Jeffrey Simmons around. I would like to see the numbers, the specific numbers, but I can remember, I think Jeff had, what, 4 sacks last year? I can remember at least 2 of them coming from him lining up outside. So now you could take your guy and you can move him around. You know what I mean? You don't have to always have him at D tackle. You can move him around and create matchup issues. And that's what you want. You know, he had 5.5 sacks. 2 of those, at least 2 of those I remember coming from him rushing, you know, from not on the outside like a wide 9, but from the defensive end position. Look. It's still early. Joey Bosa is another one that you know, may become available. We didn't even get into the receiver position. Now, Curtis Samuel is intriguing. I say stay away from Hollywood Brown, right? But, you know, you also look at Tyler Boyd. I think if you want a steady veteran, he's someone that you could bring in. David, you had mentioned that Mike Williams is going to come available. You got the injury risk, but you want a vertical guy. Like, that's somebody that you could go to also. So there's a lot that this team is going to have to continue to do, because this roster was in shambles, you know, and Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker and the crew, Anthony Robinson, they have a lot of work to do. We'll see how this continues to go along. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. You heard my take on how things are going. Let's give you Chris Sanders. We'll be right back with Run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD. Run TMC.
For you. Fresh.
I like it. Yeah. Ooh, you already know what's about to happen. The lights dim. The music fades. Ooh. Where are we going? And now, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. For your Phoenix Suns, starting at center from the University of Arkansas, number 28, Andrew Lang.
And now, the starting linebacker for the Denver Broncos, Tom Jackson.
Oh, man. You know what? Hold on a second.
Hey.
Listen. We're laughing, but on a serious note, we had Derrick Henry bring us in, and he's brought us in on this segment for the last 3 years or so.
Man.
So, let's just have a moment for Derrick Henry, who has moved on to the – he didn't go to the upper room. He's still on the planet. He just moved on to the Baltimore Suns. But the Baltimore Ravens. But, David, let me get a little something, please.
How do I say goodbye?
I just need the black shades, man. The what?
The good
Hurt my feelings, man.
Hey.
Hey, you know the thing is?
Hey, hold up. Hey, see if my man can get Boys to Men.
That's it right there.
Oh, that's it at the end of the road.
Oh, no, nah, end of the road. We didn't. Nah, that was the other one. It's so hard to say goodbye.
I put the
tearjerker.
I almost cried, man. I'm like, man, what is going on?
Yo, man. And it's funny because so here's the deal.
Yes, sir.
You're not supposed to, like, as journalists, like, you try not to put emotion into this.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? But Derek is one of those guys where it was like, and I'm going to tell you the reason why. Because of how standoffish he was initially.
Absolutely.
To how he was this past year. And I remember, the Texans game before the season ended, not the year he rushed for 2,000, but the one before that, so 2019, I did a story, and I remember talking to him a lot about it. This was the first time where, like, he really opened up, you know, and we spent a lot of time for this story. It was about his grandmother, Miss Gladys, and how important she was to him and how she helped raise him and just everything. And from that point on, it was like the door was open, you know, and I'll never forget Derek. And I'm not trying to make this about me, but I'm just explaining why it's a personal, like, there is emotion involved with it for me. I'll never forget the press conference after that game, unprovoked, in the middle of one of his answers. He was like, "And thank you for doing that story." And I'm just like,
wow,
that's crazy. And then from then on, like, it's funny because, like, I have moments with that. I remember the one time I was telling him, I was like, bro, I'm not going to lie. I've been arguing with people about your ability since 2015, man.
Right.
And he was like, damn, you know how Derek, you're an OG for real. And started laughing. I'm like, bro, that's just, like, I always really liked Derrick Henry's game, man. And always had debates about, he's not going to be good in the league. He's just big. No, he's not. Man. The dude is super explosive, too. And you saw it.
But you But you know what's so cool, TD? I don't even want to talk about the player right now. I want to talk about the man. We always talk about players being developed. We always talk about guys being developed when they come into the league and when they change teams or even get out the league. Mm-hmm. Looking from day one, how he developed just as a man.
Yeah.
Just looking. He didn't want to deal with the media. He didn't want to make it about him. But then he started to adapt to it. And also he started to embrace it as opposed to running away from it. That's the kind of stuff I love. Everybody knows about the 2,000 yards. Everybody knows he's a great player. Also, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But I love the man. I love the character. And let's just take it even a step further. The last game of the season, he didn't have to take the mic. But he wanted to let everybody know that if I'm gone, thank you for everything that you've done for me. Come on, man. Not many guys. A lot of guys are disgruntled. A lot of guys are upset. But to grab the mic and say, I love y'all. And then, can I please just for one more second?
Preach.
Testify.
Let me tell you how awesome this cat is. He didn't know if he was going to be here or not, or he didn't know if he was going to be here or not. But when they signed Tony Pollard and he knew he was gone, what did he say in the paper? He said, Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard are going to be a dynamic duo for this team. And guess what? He said that you guys are going to be pleased with him.
Yeah.
Character.
Like, that's character. Another quick story. You talk about the man, right?
So his
media team, his PR team, they let me know to be at Burlington because Derek was going to do something special, right? I'm like, all right, I was there, you know what I mean? And he came walking in, and this was around Christmas time, week before Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And you know how less fortunate, you know, hey, look, man, you put stuff on layaway. Like, I remember having all kinds of, that's what it, you know what I mean? That's what we used to do.
Yeah.
This dude's, he said, everybody in the store, come and get your layaways. I'm paying
for it. You're lying.
I'm dead serious. Dead serious. That's the type of dude he is. So, I mean, like, we could do this whole segment on Derek.
I got a little more, man. We always talk about that people come into your life, they're going to impact your life or they're just going to be there. Look at how Derrick Henry has impacted so many people's lives, not just on the football field, but just like what you said. He just has that it factor that when you're around him, he makes you better.
Yeah. No, he definitely makes you better as a player. But then you look at the 2-All Foundation also, you know, that's absolutely the level of the player playing field for, you know, the youth. Like, this dude is, and you know, another thing I really, really respected about him, you never saw any off the field nonsense. Like,
no,
Derek wasn't, no. you know, and look, like, I'm guilty off the, you know, away from the business nonsense. You know what I mean? I just worked through that. You never saw that with him. Never.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just respect that so much about him, man. Like, that dude is, he's the way you do it.
Hey, can I say one more thing? And I know we get off the subject, but we're really not. But Nick Saban did a press conference before he left, you know, before he retired. And he gave an illustration. Because his wife challenged him and said, well, why are we doing this? And he said, the reason why I love doing this, I may be misquoted, is, you know, we love to develop players into great men.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're seeing a product of what Nick Saban is talking about. It's not just developing the player, but you're developing the man. And we got a chance to see that with the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, there you have it right there, man. You know. Mm. You could almost end the segment on that. You know what I mean? But
say goodbye.
we got some business to talk about,
We got some business.
Let's look at it, man. And obviously, sure. you know, we'll start there. You mentioned Tony Pollard. Your thoughts on the tandem with he and Tajay Spears. How does that work?
I think it's going to work, and I think it's going to be explosive. And the reason why I say explosive is because you look at with Brian Callahan, they said that they want speed. Two guys that you have. You got Tajay, you got Pollard. But here's what I love you can do. I mean, you can really do a lot of things. We have two speed guys, you know, on the field at the same time. Go 20 personnel, 2 back, 0 tight ends, and 3 wide receivers. Then flank one of them out, and one can run the speed sweep. So those are the lot of things you can basically do because you have two guys that are fast. You got two guys that can catch the ball out the field. So when you have an offensive coordinator with Nick Folk, and you have the head coach with Brian Callahan that specializes in scheming guys that can make plays, then now you got two guys that can make plays in that situation.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. Let's move on to we'll stay on the offensive side of the ball. Cushenberry, Lloyd Cushenberry, that signing. How important is the center?
It's very important. And here's the thing, because I never want to dismiss a man, because I think Brewer has overcame the odds anyway. This is a guy, you know, and I think it was in 2020, he came out of Texas State and he was undrafted and then became a starter. So I want to praise him first. And even in a situation with this, and I say this respectfully, because I just feel hard, you know, talking about players. I just think that this is an upgrade. And the reason why I say it's an upgrade, number one, is because he's just a bigger body. I mean, you look at Brewer, he's 6 feet, 274. You got Lloyd Cushenberry, that's 6'4", 315. And last year, he gave up one sack, 14 pressures. You got Brewer that gave up six sacks, 34 pressures. So, you know, when I say upgrade, that's not a disrespect. So I want to be clear when I say that. But I just want to say it's an upgrade of having just a bigger body and a more physical player.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll real quick go to the defense. Kenneth Murray.
I like him. I mean, I really like him. And one thing I love about him is he's physical and he's tough. But the only thing that I'm kind of concerned a little bit about is how he's going to cover in space. That's the only thing that I'm just kind of concerned about. I know he's physical. We heard the interview with Denard Wilson, the defensive coordinator. He said he wanted to be physical and tough and have a nasty attitude. And I think that Kenneth Murray, the linebacker, brings that attitude that you're looking for on defense.
Yeah, for sure. Chidobe Awuzie.
No, we talked about him earlier, two or 3 weeks ago, that if they bring him in. Because you said this, TD. You said he's one of those guys that you want to fight in practice. Because he's consistently in your face. I mean, if you look at last year, you know, he didn't have any interceptions, but he was consistently around the football. So he had 42 tackles, and in 2021 he had two interceptions. So I think that in this defense, you need a cover corner, and I think he's going to be great in this defense.
Oh, yeah. No, without a doubt, I think he's going to be solid. Just you look at some of the available players, right, the receivers. Let's go back to the offensive side of the ball. Treylon Burks, that situation is what it is. We've talked about it. I think, you know, he could really unlock all of this, but in the meantime, like, you can't rely on that, right? And you got Mike Williams. He just recently became available. Tyler Boyd, obviously, is another option. Curtis Samuel, Hollywood Brown. Just if you had to pick, all right, pick two of those and tell me why, and then pick two that you don't like. Wouldn't pick the top two for you there.
And don't forget about Marquise Brown.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Hollywood Brown. All right, sell me on it, because I'm not there.
Because you're not. I just think that those two right there, they bring speed. And I know that you know Hollywood hasn't caught that many passes, but I think you bring him in here and you figure out a way to get in the ball because of the speed. And I just think with Marquise Brown, I think that's the same thing. We need a guy that's going to take the top off the defense. We know that, you know, Hop is going to specialize in catching balls with tough coverage. But sometimes we want to see somebody blow by somebody on a post or a go route, you know, just like Treylon Burks did, I think it was last year, the year before. No, this year when they caught a bomb against the San Diego Chargers or the Los Angeles Chargers. Yeah. So we need to see that. We got to see that, because if you look at Brian Callahan, when he was with the Cincinnati Bengals, they threw the ball downfield. So you got to get some receivers that have some speed. They may not have caught a lot of balls with Hollywood Brown, but he still brings that potential of catching the deep ball. So I say those two, one of those two can probably come in and help.
You know, here's the thing about Hollywood Brown, where he does have that speed, but it hasn't shown in games.
Yeah,
you know
point.
What I mean? You do
that's
have the threat
point.
For sure. But even like, you know, and I hate to just pull up numbers, you know what I mean? But you look at over the last 3 years, he's only averaged, you know, anywhere from 10 to 11 yards a catch. His career average is 11.6. So just like, you love that speed, but you want to see it show. Like, you look at Xavier Worthy, you know what I mean? Obviously, we're going from NFL to college, but you like, he ran the 4.2. And those people who didn't see him play, they went back to, and they were like, oh, wait a minute, this shows. You know what I mean? So it's just, you know, me personally, I think you could get, I would go, you know, fourth, fifth round, Roman Wilson out of Michigan. I would just go ahead and grab him. And I think you get. But okay, so that's Hollywood Brown, Curtis Samuel, Mike Williams, Tyler Boyd. Your thoughts on that?
I like Tyler Boyd. I mean, the reason why I like Tyler Boyd, I think he can do some damage in the slot. I mean, we didn't know the situation with Kyle Phillips. I mean, we know Kyle Phillips can make some plays in the slot, but he's consistently hurt. He's consistently inconsistent. But when he's on, he can make some plays. So, you know, with Tyler Boyd, I mean, you can put him at the X or the Z or even in the slot to actually make some plays. So, you know, I think that would kind of help in that situation.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. I think he would be the best option. Do you like just the versatility that Curtis Samuel brings?
See, that's the key is versatility. And the reason why, you know, a lot of receivers are successful is because they can move around and be versatile. But even if they didn't get those guys, who have we been talking about in the draft for the last 5 weeks?
Xavier Leggett.
Leggett. How many positions can he play? What makes him great? Versatile.
Yep.
He can play the X, he can play the H, and he can play the Z. So when you have a guy like that that can play different positions, it just makes him picking him can make it be so easy because he does so many things. If you look at Derrick Mace, what made Derrick Mace so valuable? He wasn't big in stature, he wasn't, you know, the 6'2", 6'3" wide receiver. But what made Derrick Mason so special is because he was versatile. He can play the X, he can play on the line, he can play the Z, he can go in motion, he can play in the slot and run the, you know, the seams and the corner racks and the choice routes. Just like what he did on Monday night when he went against Rod, when he went against Woodson and broke him off something proper because he was so versatile.
All right, Mike Williams, let's round out the quadruplet or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't lose. I mean, he's a big play wide receiver. And I just think that, you know, you bring him here, he can teach a lot of the, you know, the younger guys on how to work, just like with Hop. But the thing about it is we got to have somebody that when you turn on the film, you're like, dang, gummit. How you say that? Dang gum. We got to have somebody that puts fear in an imposing defense. We know Hop's going to get his plays. We know he's going to run a lot of crossing routes. But you still want to have somebody on the other side to where you can be like, man, we got to take account of this guy. And maybe Mike Williams can do that and maybe not.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. I just the injury thing for me. But
see, that's what it is. That's what I'm saying. Injury prone. Don't sound so sad.
It's just like I would hate to be ran right now. Because you look at the Texans. And I guess we'll wrap it up on that. Ooh. The Texans, man, like you talk about loading the wagon.
Duh. Lord.
Archery. Aziz Ashire. Danielle Hunter.
Lord.
I mean, like, they just have added and added and added and added. I mean, they're, what, 15 or 16 additions. Like, they're doing what they got. D'Amico Ryans is putting himself in a good position.
But you know what's so cool about the whole thing, TD, is he's just not just loading up with a whole bunch of players. These are some impact players now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at Archie, look at what he did last year. What, he had 12 sacks? If you look at the Tennessee Titans last year, who was a bright spot on that defense when Simmons got hurt?
It was Archie.
Yeah. Archie was bringing that thing. But then you got Al Shazier, and he's a tackling machine. I know he was injured a little bit, but you better believe when the Texans play the Tennessee Titans, they are circling that game.
They're going to be hard.
Man, Archie might have like 17 sacks on three plays.
Well, see, here's the good thing. Here's the good thing that's going to be different from going back against the Colts like he did. There was an attempt to bring him back. Like, they attempted to.
Ooh.
Whereas the Colts, didn't even give him an offer. And I remember his teeth started showing when I talked to him about that, man. I was like, hey, listen here, man. Like, this ain't the Liam Nelson movie, The Gray, and you ain't no wolf right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was showing his teeth, man. I said, hey, look, you know, just go out there and have a good game. And I'm going to write this article. And, he went out and he balled out. And that was the one where he was really emotional afterward. And Mike Vrabel gave him the game ball, you know what I mean? So,
but you know, what's so cool about the whole thing, TD, is he's one of those quiet, confident guys that just comes in there and does his job.
Yeah,
I mean, and you love players like that to where, you know, a lot of guys hitting their chest and, you know, it's all about me. But every time he gets a sack and every time he does something great, he makes it about the team. So, you know, when you have a player like that, you got a veteran player that's going to the Texans, he's going to make that whole defense even better by just his work ethic and showing that, you know, follow me and let's go get this thing done. Great pickup by the Texans, man.
Yeah,
dang,
that's great. They're in really good shape. They're in really good shape. And speaking of being in good shape, man, I my daughter Simone and I, we got a little workout in, and then we sat down and we were watching cartoons, right? And we were watching Hey Arnold. And it's funny because, like, Arnold's best friend came walking out And he had like, you know,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, he came walking out and my daughter was like, I know this is a cartoon, but you sure that dude is not the one that you do the radio show with? I say, hey, Momo, no. That's not Chris Sanders. That's Gerald.
Well, guess what? I was watching Cartoon Network the other day with my baby. Was watching Cartoon Network, and then Bill Cosby came on. I'm like, baby, let's watch it, man. You know, he's got a good show. So as the show came on, this little kid walks across the screen. And she's like, baby, I did not know that TD was in cartoons. I said, baby, that is not TD. That's Lil Bill.
This is Arden Key, and I'm talking with TD.
I could have treated you better. That's crazy.
No.
Talking with TD. What a lot of you may not know is our next guest is possibly the biggest Drake fan out there. So I had to put this music on for my guy Tyler Rowland. You know him on Twitter as Tic Tac Titans. He's the host of the Locked On Titans podcast, which is your daily opportunity to get Titans talk. It's on the Locked On Network. Tyler, what's going on, man?
Hey, TD, thanks for having me on. Yeah, absolutely. Playing some Virginia Beach right there. Lean into me for some Titans free agency information. Thanks for having me on. It's an honor, obviously. I'm a big fan of your work covering the team. You do a great job, so excited to talk some football with you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. I guess we'll just start from the top. I mean, you look at you had a post, actually, earlier today, and I think it does apply because – you know, so many Titans fans are ready to jump off the bridge. And, you know, you got the Texans loading up the way that they're loading up. I just kind of share with the listeners what your point that you wanted to get across in regards to patience.
Well, I guess it's a two-pronged point, one from the Titans view and then, you know, obviously my stance on what the Texans have done. I just think that this is not something – I didn't expect the Titans to be Super Bowl contenders after this free agency. Mm-hmm. Like, they have all this money, but Rand Carthon said it at his press conference, we're going to spend responsibly. Like, just because you got money doesn't mean that you spend money. That's a broke man's mentality, in my opinion. Like, everybody growing up knew the guy who got a little bit of money, next day, new shoes, new shirt, you know, and he's asking you to bum a dollar for a sandwich. Like, I don't want the Titans to be – that kind of franchise. So they're going to spend smartly, and it may not be the big flashy deals. They may not have put 14 contracts on the board for fans to freak out about. But at the end of the day, it's been 2 days. We're in the middle of day three. Like, free agency goes throughout the season. You can pick up guys in free agency. So while I know that everybody wants to be the big spender and have all the headlines and everything, the Titans just shouldn't be that team, because you know, like I know, TD, that the team that wins in week one of free agency is often not the team that does the best. And then the other side of that is Houston. Like, everyone's freaking out about what Houston's done. Well, number one, Houston is in a different place as a team than the Titans are. You know, the Titans are rebuilding this thing from the ground up. Houston won a playoff game last year, so they should act differently and spend differently. And on the other hand, they brought in Danielle Hunter on a good contract, which makes sense to replace Jonathan Grenard. But, you know, they're paying big money for Danico Autry, who's 34. And Azeez Al-Shaair got, you know, the biggest contract, 2 years, $23 million in guaranteed money of any linebacker this free agency. And while he's a good starter, I don't know if I would be paying that kind of money. So Joe Mixon, does that move the needle for me? Like, Houston did good, but I guess I'm just not as impressed with it all as maybe some panicking Titans fans are acting.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're looking at is a state of panic, you know, for the Titans fan base. So you've seen what happened already. I think it's pretty obvious the best signing and the worst signing. I mean, you know, Sadiq Charles, whatever. But I think if you look at the best, it's Cushenberry. The worst, it's Kenneth Murray. Would you agree with that?
I think you have to. I think Cushenberry is such a good fit, and especially with the Titans, it sounds like, at least from what Brian Callahan has been saying since he took the job, that he's looking for length, pass protection. Like, and I hate to be this way, but, you know, Cushenberry is like the anti-Aaron Brewer here with his ability to anchor and his ability in pass protection and his size as well. So I think the Cushenberry fit plus the cost, you know, $12.5 million a year, it's a two-year deal for them. I think it's good value. The player is a good fit in what you expect. On the other hand, I agree with you on Kenneth Murray, and I'll be positive, you know, because he is a good blitzer. He's shown that he can get into the backfield. He's a freak athlete. He's got good size at 6'2". Like, I see how he could maybe fit into an attacking defense, which, you know, if you pick up the breadcrumbs of Todd Bowles, Greg Williams, the influences of Denard Wilson, new Titans defensive coordinator, I could see how you could be like, all right, a blitzing linebacker, he could fit. But at the end of the day, his awareness, his coverage ability, like, I just think that he can't be your number one linebacker. He's a project, and I wanted the Titans to take a chance on one of those guys, like an Isaiah Simmons, a Devin White. But they need somebody else to come in and be an option as well. And I think Jerome Baker, a guy they've been rumored to be interested in, who's better in coverage, I think that could be a good pairing.
Yeah, that's basically what I had said earlier, you know, in regards to Kenneth Murray. I think there's a lot of area for improvement, right, from the awareness perspective. You look at, you know, him going against mesh, you know, that's something that they'll use against him in pass coverage. Mm-hmm. And then you look at misdirection. But as you said, a more responsible, a more disciplined backer like Jerome Baker to pair with him, that will help things. So I'm glad that you mentioned that and just looking at him in a different scheme, because that's something else that you have to think about. Now, go ahead.
I just think scheme is the right word. You led perfectly into it. That's why I was ready to jump off that diving board that you gave me. That was a softball in there. You look, he was in Brandon Staley's scheme early on, and we know that is a heavy zone coverage. Yep. It's reading the field, being in the right place, all that. He runs that cover four, cover six style Fangio defense, and that's going to be a lot of read and react. That's going to be – it's important that you have good spatial awareness and you know where to drop to and all that. If the Titans put him in more of an attacking position, which to compare to Aziz was not a great blitzing linebacker. That wasn't one of his strengths. So I could see how the difference in skill set is something that they're looking for, and I think that – you're right, to be fair, there is untapped potential there based on the athleticism. And if put in a system where, you know, just let the dog off the leash, don't make him think, don't make him have to worry about reading zone coverage and reading route concepts and doing all, just let him go downhill and play with that aggressiveness and that athleticism, that could be exactly what he needs to reach his potential. So it's risky because we haven't seen it, but, you know, at least you have to be honest and see what they might be thinking when they go after a guy like that.
No doubt about it. We're talking to Tyler Rowland. I almost said Tyler Boyd. How about that? Got the receivers on my mind.
Trying to manifest it.
Tyler Rowland, Tic Tac Titans on Twitter, the Locked On Titans podcast. He is the host there of the Locked On Network. Let's move on and just look at your plan. Yeah, give me something. Well, let's look at it from an offensive standpoint, since I almost called you Tyler Boyd. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I've thought all along that Hollywood Brown was a logical option. Now, obviously, everything is price. He's had injury issues. He's had drop issues. So there's a sting of reliability there. And he's been in a bad situation at times in Arizona after he left Baltimore. But I think he's got tremendous speed. And despite his size and what people may think, he spent the majority of his career snaps on the outside. Mm-hmm. So if you have Hopkins, who's your big physical guy, you bring in a guy like Hollywood Brown who can stress the defense vertically and open things up, and then you add in a young receiver in the first or the second round, I think that you have a really dynamic group. And I think that Hollywood Brown pairs well with Will Levis and his arm strength. So I would be looking there. But the Titans, I mean, a lot of, you know, an analyst will tell you that what teams do in free agency tells you how they feel about the draft class. Like we've seen teams go get linebackers and running backs,
right,
and it took some people off guard, but those aren't supposed to be strong positions in this year's draft. Well, offensive tackle and wide receiver are very strong. I mean, maybe the Titans have just decided, forget this wide receiver and offensive tackle group that's not that great and paying for it. We're just going to double dip in the draft and get young guys on cheap contracts because this is such a good draft at those positions. So I would like to see him take a swing at maybe a Jonah Williams, maybe a Hollywood Brown at one of those spots. But if they don't do that, I guess maybe people should brace themselves. But on defense, we hear him rumored Chase Young. We hear him rumored with Eric Armstead, the trade with Legarius Sneed. I think they still need Justin Simmons, another name that we've heard. I think they still need to add some veterans on defense more than offense. So my plan for them is to kind of focus on those 1-year deals with some guys with upside, whether it be because they're young and unproven like a Chase Young, or, you know, like Eric Armstead, Justin Simmons, guys in their 30s who are just, you know, older guys, so they're going to get shorter deals. I think going that route is probably the best thing that they can do now.
I'm with you on the Young signing, because you sign him and you that prove it deal. And if he proves it, guess what you got next year to bring him back? You got you got a gem, and you got money to pay that gem. So I'm with you there. Now, you mentioned Justin Simmons. I know you have thoughts about a younger safety as well, maybe a longer-term one. For me, that younger safety is Jordan Fuller. I really think that he's a guy that they should look at. So 26 years old, coming off a pretty productive year. I know he had the injury in 2022, but, you know, you got him. But I know you like Cam Curl also. Give our listeners sell him.
I mean, I like Cam Curl. I think that you pair him again with Chris Harris, who is in the Titans defensive backfield as a coach. He's got good instincts. I think he's versatile. He can play a ton of different coverages. I think that he's willing to be physical as well. And at 24, about to turn 25 years old, I think you might be able to get your hands on a guy for cheaper than you would otherwise, because Washington is just in a transition year. So I think that pairing Curl back with Chris Harris would be a good idea. But I don't think you're wrong on Jordan Fuller either. I think that would also be a good option for him as well.
Yeah, and there was another Jordan I liked, but the Bucs snapped him up. They brought him back to Tampa, and that's Jordan Whitehead. And we talked about him on Tuesday. Anything else you look at this team, like where they need to improve? I mean, are you okay with the Sadiq Charles and Daniel Brunskill competing at right guard? What are your thoughts on Dylan Radunz being in the mix at tackle? What are your ideas there?
Well, see, I really think they needed to go out and get a veteran tackle. And we haven't seen the tackles go off the board yet. You know, Teron Smith is still out there. Jonah Williams still out there. Trenton Brown's still out there. Mekhi Becton was a name that was rumored to be, you know, of interest to the Titans as well. So we haven't seen the tackle market really move very much at all. The Titans still end up with a good offensive tackle in veteran free agency. I would be fine with having that battle at right guard. TD, this is part of like the patience that I'm trying to preach to people, and I know that you understand. This thing is not going to be fixed overnight. Mm-hmm. So you look at linebacker, okay, we all don't like Kenneth Murray. Maybe they add, you know, another mid-tier cheap veteran to go with him, but you can't just fix cornerback, linebacker, offensive line, wide receiver. You can't just totally fix all these positions in free agency in one draft class overnight. Like, this team is building something. Sustainability was the word with the organizational change and all that. They want to build sustainability. And the only way that you can do that, as you know, and I'm sure as you say all the time, is through the draft. You have to hit on high-level players on cheap rookie contracts, draft those guys, develop those guys, and have multiple of them at the same time, and having them at premium positions where you save a lot of money on what people are getting paid in free agency is just so critical. So free agency is to supplement things, not the core of what you build on. Mm-hmm. And I just think there's no way the Titans could have solved everything overnight. So just getting a few key pieces that can help you in 2025, maybe actually be a contender, that's what's most important right now. So just have to keep patience out there, you know, at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And we're talking to Tyler Rowland, host of the Locked On Titans podcast. It's a daily podcast. You get your Titans talk every day. It's a part of the Locked On Network. You can know him on Twitter, TikTok Titans. Let me ask you this, because you just preached about the draft and how that's important. So I'm going to assume that you're out on trading for Lajarius Sneed or T. Higgins.
Well, I don't think it's a good idea to trade number 38. You know, they can't trade their second round pick. Again, I was just saying, you got to have rookie contract guys who are high-level players. Mm-hmm. That's how you build a sustainable winner. Those are the guys that you want to pay and keep around. So for me, I don't want to trade number 38, the second-round pick. I think the Titans need that pick. They can't trade a second or a first-round pick in either of the next two drafts. But we heard the rumors of a third-round pick. If they were somehow to do a third-round pick and then a fourth-round pick this year, I would consider that. Or a fourth-round pick this year and a sixth-round pick this year, I would do that. Also, can Treylon Burks be a day-three pick equivalent? Can, you know, Kansas City needs wide receivers. Burks has talent to be a down the field threat, which I think they need now with MVS being gone. Maybe you give fourth and a bird. I think that's very unlikely, but I'm just, you know, spitballing here. I think there are ways for the Titans to create a deal that's realistic without giving up that second round pick, but can they create a deal that's going to win? I don't think that they're going to do that. And they're just not in a position to do it where other teams maybe are in a position to give up more. So I want them to acquire Legarius Sneed. I do. I think that would make a very good cornerback group for the first time in a while for the Titans. But I just don't think that they're in a position to offer what it'll take to get the deal done. And I hope they prove me wrong.
All right. And let's wrap it up on this one, Tyler. Where are you in the quagmire that the Titans have at pick 7? Are you of the, hey, you got to make sure you get a tackle? Are you of the, hey, you got to get a receiver? Or are you of the, hey, look, man, whatever's the best on the board, take?
I think the only smart way to be, you can't say you got to do this, you got to do that. The only smart way to be is to play it by the board. And if Joe Alt is, to me, it's a player conversation, as I'm sure you understand and agree with it. If Joe Alt is there, I don't think you can pass on just a plug and play sure thing at left tackle. He is the, out of all the free agents and all the players that could possibly be available, to me, Joe Alt is the best fit for the Titans' need and his skill. It would just be the perfect fit. If he's not there, though, I don't think any of the other tackles, including Olufashinu, are guys that you take over Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze. I'm just ruling out Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't think there's any way he's in the conversation for them, honestly. But for me, if Alt isn't there, you pivot and you go to wide receiver. It's a deep tackle and a deep wide receiver class. And you can, if you keep, that's why you've got to keep that second round pick, because you can hit those two positions and feel really good about the players that you got at your two biggest needs. So I'm going Alt, but if he's not there, I go Nabers or I go Odunze.
Yeah. Now, let's say you go the Nabers or Odunze route. Are you comfortable with what, and obviously you were playing the board, but just like trying to predict what would be available there at 38 at left tackle, are you comfortable with the possibilities and just two or three names, you think?
Yeah, I think a guy like Patrick Paul from Houston needs some development, but all the athletic tools. A guy, Tyler Guyton, who I think is maybe a little more risky than maybe when the conversation around at the Senior Bowl happened because of the 1 year of production and the way he kind of pushes guys rather than like driving people. But I think a guy like Tyler Guyton, if he were to fall that low, would be a good option. So I think those two dudes are definitely on the board. Kingsley Samawatu. Yeah. I don't know if I said that right. still working on that. But I think he's a guy with a ton of athletic tools that just needs a little coaching up. And I think those athletic tools will get him drafted in the second round. So I think that there are some options. Again, it's a deep tackle class. I think even maybe at 107, the Titans could pick up a second tackle, go wide receiver, tackle. Mm-hmm. I think double dipping this year and spending most of your picks on those two positions is not a terrible thing to do with the way the classes are.
Yeah, no, I agree with you fully. That's a great point there. Well, Tyler, look, man, we could do this another 20 minutes, but there's only so much time we have, so I appreciate you coming on. Real quick, go ahead and let them know where to find everything you're doing.
Yeah, of course. Like you have said, TD, and I appreciate it, Locked On Titans podcast on YouTube, whatever podcast app you use. It's Monday through Friday. I do a lot of bonus episodes as well on the weekend, so that's the primary job. But I also started a new channel on YouTube called Tic Tac Titans, where I'm focused on doing film breakdowns and really bringing the X's and O's to the fan base. So if people want to check that out as well, that's great. And at Tic Tac Titans, I'm always giving my firm and strong opinions, that's for sure. So I'm always there too.
For sure, man. Appreciate you, Tyler.
All right. Thanks, T.
So that was Tyler Rowland, host of the Locked On Titans podcast. You can find that on the Locked On Sports Network. Definitely appreciate him coming on. Got to shout out Chris Sanders for Run TMC. It was kind of dope going down memory lane talking about Derrick Henry. And, you know, while we're at it, man, shout out Derrick Henry, right, for all the memories and great moments he gave each of you Titans fans. Appreciate that. He's on to the Ravens. And that being said, we'll go to the Ravens fan, my guy David
Flock,
James.
Baby. Yes, sir.
Appreciate you, man, always, making this man thing happen, cleaning it up. And most importantly, appreciate each of you. As you heard Tyler Rowland say, be patient. Bon Jovi made a song about it. I can't tell you how it goes, but make sure you listen to it. It's going to take some patience, folks. But, yeah, you can check us out. Search Talking with TD on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you get your fine listening materials. Check us out. Subscribe, rate, review. You already know. We appreciate you.